underwriting support for the Book Show podcast on WAMC.org comes from Northshire Bookstore, Manchester Center, Vermont, and Saratoga Springs, New York. An independent bookstore offering books, author events, gifts for children and adults, and more. Northshire.com. And from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a new Bachelor of Science degree in Public Health with a focus on social, physical, and behavioral sciences. strose.edu.
Welcome to The Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. The new book, Modern Loss, Candid Conversation About Grief, Beginner's Welcome, is an examination into navigating grief and resilience in the age of social media, offering comfort and community for coping with the mess of loss through candid original essays from a variety of voices. Rebecca Sofer and Gabrielle Berkner lost parents as young adults. They went on to co-found Modern Loss, responding to a need to change the dialogue around the messy experience of grief. They look to offer the insights of the Modern Loss community to help us cry, laugh, grieve, identify, and above all, empathize. It is a great pleasure to welcome Rebecca Sofer and Gabrielle Berkner to this week's book show. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having us both on the program, Joe.
Thank you.
As I mentioned in the introduction, you both dealt with loss. I'm interested as to at what point you came to this idea of modern loss and what ultimately that means.
The idea of modern loss, I was doing a lot of thinking about after my mom died. She died in a car accident when I was 30, and I spent a good couple of years completely spinning in circles, trying to re-anchor myself to the world, trying to reorient myself to, you know, the new, as I talk about in the book, this new moonscape that was created by this explosion in my life. And I found it very difficult to find people who actually wanted to have a real conversation about the total mess of living with grief. That said, you know, I was 30. It's not like everybody around me was living with loss. Very few people were. It took me a lot of time to find those people. But when I did find them, thank goodness I did, or else I would have probably gone batty by now, I realized that the term modern loss is not necessarily referring to loss specifically in the age of, or talking about how we hashtag things or how we have blogs. It's really about our take on how we express our grief. If we are open to doing so, if we feel empowered to talking about what happened to us and how it's making us feel, or reaching out to others who are going through tough times instead of brushing it under the rug or pretending like it didn't happen. That, for me, is what modern loss means. It's a new take or a refreshing look at how we live with loss and how we approach the topic. Are we open to embracing the good, the bad, the ugly, and the hilarious that is the true loss experience, as opposed to putting different filters in front of it, showing it like as though it were a Barbara Walters special through a heavy pink filter where everything is rainbows and kittens and comforting words? Modern loss for us is really just showing the mess that it is, showing how it's good, it's terrible, it's funny, and through all of it, if you really embrace it and you ride the waves, and there are waves and they will come for the rest of your life, there's a lot of good that can also come along with the terrible. For us, that's what modern loss is. That's how we approach it.
Gabby, your father and stepmother were brutally murdered in a home invasion. And does that enter into it of the way of that someone dies? That it's different, that you grieve differently because it is so tragic and so difficult to get your brain around?
I certainly think so. I was 24 when I got the news that my father and stepmother had been killed in a home invasion. And basically nothing in my 24 years prepared me for what I was going to experience, which was being thrust into adulthood by police and prosecutors, medical examiners, and mortuaries. So there was the idea that my friends, I was 24, so most of them hadn't lost parents, let alone known anyone who had been murdered. So it was really important to me to find others who could really bear witness to this specific type of pain. And I found that through a support group up in Harlem in Manhattan, Safe Horizon, which has a Families of Homicide support group, and through Parents of Murdered Children, which is not just for parents, but for anyone who's lost a loved one to violence. And it was really important to me to be able to find my tribe among others who have experienced this specific type of loss, because details of the crime were in the papers and were in my head, and I had questions that friends didn't want to hear, understandably, or couldn't hear, because it's just too painful and scary and makes everyone feel pretty vulnerable when you think about, oh, someone hired a plumber and they came back and this happened.
When you explore the topic, Rebecca, and looking at ultimately what became this book of bringing some 40 contributors together to share their stories and to write about the many themes that come along with this, this comes after years of figuring that out, right? Of not only of having the website, but of understanding and exploring what that theme of modern loss is.
Yes. The website really allowed us, for lack of a better term, to play around for a couple of years. When we launched the site 4 years ago, which is, wow, yeah, the end of 2013, we just had a lot of stories that we'd commissioned. We'd reached out to all of our friends and friends of friends and friends of friends of friends who we had heard were going through something. We asked them to write about their experiences and talk about kind of weird, you know, to get an email from someone you've never met before asking if you would write about your experience with loss. You'd think that a lot of people would have said, you know, get the hell out of my inbox. But instead, most of them said, yes, great, I finally get a chance to exhale. And so that's how Modern Loss was born. It's not about my story, about Gabby's story. We launched this as a platform for a community to be born and grow around sharing these experiences, sharing the mess of experiences that happen at any point in time after a loss. So across the long arc. In terms of the book, for us, that was a natural extension of the website. And it really allowed us to kind of identify and solidify the different themes that we saw popping up time and time again over the last few years on the site, which are themes of inheritance, themes of triggers. And these are big umbrella themes. So you could identify them through a myriad of different angles. Data, you know, what is technology doing to how we grieve these days? And collateral damage, which, you know, we kind of define as like, you know, you think someone died and that's it. Like, that's, oh, it's the worst thing ever. But the joke is on you. That's actually the beginning of it all. You know, we have a whole chapter on how the world doesn't really cut you a break just because someone died. It's actually going to keep spinning and screwing with you in different ways. So that's what the website allowed us to do. And so when we got to the time where we were lucky enough to sign a publishing agreement to make this book, we had a very clear idea of what we wanted to do, how we wanted the layout to be. We didn't want it to flow in terms of a, you know, chronological order, because there is no chronology in grief. It's just one big mess. So that's why we built it around different umbrella themes. And by then, we'd also heard of more and more public figures like Amanda Palmer, who's a singer, Brian Stelter, who hosts Reliable Sources on CNN. So we had heard of more and more figures who are well known, who had loss in their lives, and simply reached out to them and said, hey, we've run this thing for the last few years, so we have some credibility. Would you consider writing for the book? And to be totally honest, we were still kind of blown away by how nearly everybody said yes.
So, Gabby, have you been able to figure out and been able to put your finger on the essential question, which comes very early from this process, which is why we're so lousy at talking about death?
I think a lot of the dismissive or hurtful things people can say to people who've lost someone, they don't come out of malice. They come because it's really hard to talk about our lives, our loved ones, our vulnerabilities. I think that there's not malice in that. There's just a recognition that this is difficult. Rebecca and I run a website about grief and just co-authored a book on the topic of loss. And we still, or I can only speak for myself, I still don't always say the right things to people who've lost loved ones. And yes, I think there still is a taboo. And in the book, we talk about taboos on top of taboos. The taboo of talking about death in concert with talking about sex, in concert with talking about the idea of talking ill of the dead. It's scary. It makes us feel vulnerable. It makes us feel human. But at the end of the day, I truly believe that community can form at the intersection of vulnerability and empathy. So being open to being vulnerable and being open to hearing other people's stories. And I really feel like that's what we do in the book, on the website, and in the community that we've formed.
Our guests are Gabrielle Berkner and Rebecca Sofer. Their new book is Modern Loss, Candid Conversation About Grief, Beginner's Welcome.
That idea of vulnerability, but also of empathy, is interesting to me. I just, within the last week or two, had a nephew who overdosed from heroin.
I'm so sorry.
Died. And what struck me was at the what struck me at the funeral, though, was that no one knew what to talk about in regards to the life. And you, the terms that we often use in someone who has died at 80 is a celebration of their life. And you don't hear those words at something like that. And because it is a life cut dramatically short, much as the life of your parents, that it's something that you don't know how to quite, as you were saying, Gabby, about saying the right thing. And I don't know, is there a right thing? It's just hard to get your mind around some things that just don't make sense.
First of all, I'm really sad to hear about your nephew. There are some things that we encourage people to say to loved ones in the aftermath of losing someone. There are things like, whatever you're feeling is okay. You can invite them to talk about the person who they lost. If you knew the person, reach out and, you know, send a card with some of your cherished memories of that person. It's important to acknowledge, and it's okay to acknowledge, that you don't know what to say, but that you are here to listen. That I think that showing up and following through is way more important than saying the exact right thing at any given moment, because there's not one soundbite that's going to make every person who's experienced every kind of loss feel supported in any given moment. We also have a chapter in the book on secrets, and I worked as an obituary writer, actually, when this happened, at a local newspaper, and I found that when people had overdoses or people lost loved ones to suicide, they didn't want to put the cause of death in the obituary. They felt like they were talking ill of the dead, or they felt that they were shaming the person who died, or they felt they'd bring shame on their families. And I think that secrets complicate grief, and complicated relationships and complicated stories and sad stories of overdoses and suicides and homicides, they do complicate grief.
And Rebecca, in those complications, there's many levels, right? There's the person who is the person, the closest person perhaps, and then there are all the other layers of family and friends, and everybody deals with that differently, and yet you all also have to, at some point, at least in that moment of a funeral or a service, to deal with it together. That seems very difficult sometimes, because everybody is processing it at a different level.
That's one of the understatements about grief, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about, it's so complicated. When my mom died, she was the glue that kept my family together. She was the one who had Thanksgiving and had Rosh Hashanah. And like, I'm not just talking about my nuclear family, because I have a very small nuclear family. I'm talking about cousins and aunts and uncles and, you know, just extended friends who are like family. And that was home. She created the sense of home. And we had this intricate web of familial and friendship connection that in many ways existed because she was the glue of it all. when she was killed, that just was obliterated. I didn't even know how to communicate with my own dad after my mom died because I was so used to having her around. I have a couple half-brothers. I had very little idea about how to communicate with them because we are very far apart in age. And, you know, they were my dad's kids. And again, my mom was kind of the one who really helped that communication flow. My mom was the one who was able to lighten everything up. She was able to make us laugh at ourselves. She was everyone's cheerleader. And so all of a sudden you have this huge presence that is no longer around, or at least walking above ground, as it were. And so, yeah, you have all of these relatives and friends who are mourning in very different ways. I mean, there's just no same way to grieve a human being. They're mourning a different relationship than the one you had with them. They're mourning a different dynamic. And what I think people don't realize the most when they're in the thick of it is they're mourning the absence of that person in terms of the dynamic that was created when they were around. It's a mess. It's a total mess.
You use this word in the book, which is negotiation. And there is a lot of negotiating, isn't there, of how you feel versus how somebody else feels and what to do and what's one person may think is the right thing to do and how to have the service, how to have a funeral, how to talk about it, how they want the information disseminated, whatever the case may be. And there's a lot of give and take. And let's face it, you're not at your best at those points. But there's a lot that has to go into it while you're still in this ultimate fog. What struck me in the book is that the people who were talking all kind of dealt with this, but you feel so alone until you start talking to other people and realize that, oh yeah, this is something that so many people have gone through.
Or everyone will go through.
Yes.
It's like, you know, this is inevitable. Joe, you know this all too well. We're all going to lose somebody we love. It's just a matter of when that happens. And I think that we do a really good job, a bang-up job of trying to keep our act together when somebody dies. And so I think it's really easy to look around and say, oh my God, that person is doing so well. They have their act together. When most of all, you're probably in a little bit of shock, you know, or a lot of shock, and you're just trying to survive. You're just going on autopilot for a while. Or maybe you're just a complete mess, which is what I was from here and there. But, you know, after my mom died, at least, I was definitely more in the shock category. And so it really looked like I was very composed. Whereas on the inside, I was probably having like an incredible panic attack at all times. So I think that's kind of what helps people to not reach out to others or not try and connect, and also by extension feel very isolated in what they're going through because they make comparisons. But they're not real comparisons.
One of the contributors of the book, who I believe lives up in the Albany area, Elisa Albert, who's a novelist, she writes an essay in this book about her brother whom she lost to cancer. She wrote, "For a long time, I saw that there were two kinds of people, those who had come in contact with death and those who had been spared contact with death. Obviously, it was only a matter of time until the latter joined the former, but in the meantime, how clueless and shallow and silly the spared contact with death seem, how utterly lacking in perspective, in a neat inversion, I pitied them." And I really feel like that speaks to the isolation people feel and how distant you can feel from those who haven't been there, and the importance of finding your community, you know, online, in real life, reading this book, in the aftermath of losing someone you love and or someone you had a complicated relationship with.
Again, the new book is Modern Loss, Candid Conversation About Grief, Beginner's Welcome. Our guests on the book show this week, Gabrielle Berkner and Rebecca Sofer.
When you put all of this together, were there themes that just naturally emerged that people wanted to write about? And I guess I'm interested in the curatorial process of kind of figuring out what those themes were and putting them into some kind of cohesive manner. And I asked that question basically because Rebecca has several times just made the point about what a mess this is. So how do you organize the mess?
Beforehand, I think I was talking about how the website really allowed us to play around and see what kind of themes were resonating with people. And so, you know, trends started to emerge, right? Technology was a huge one. There's a piece about a guy who went onto Google Earth one day and looked at his childhood house because he had to put it on the market because his dad died. And, oh, hey, there's dad was mowing the lawn in the Google Earth image and the satellite image. You know, we've had many, many pieces that we've run that have been variations on that theme of, you know, how technology causes the dead in essence to die over and over and over again, because there's really no closure with that online. It just is, you know, the undead, as it were. And so that's a theme that emerged, this theme of secrets that Gabby just talked about. I mean, we just saw through the pieces that we've run that there were a lot of commonalities among stories, even though the details and the angles were different. And so when we started putting together the book, we were like, okay, technology, definitely, that's a no-brainer. But what are some of the other things? Okay, someone who lost their husband and found out they were cheating on her, you know, after he died, she found this out. Okay, that's quite a secret. And she had been carrying that around for a while and not telling people. What other secrets are out there? So we started piecing together, you know, the book that way. And we had already reached out to a lot of people, a lot of writers we really loved, and asked what stories they felt like they wanted to tell and batted around ideas. And so through those, you know, we started putting them into different buckets. And then we identified where we were lacking stories, and we found those stories. We found them and filled in the holes. There are a lot of contributors whose names you've heard of. And there are a lot who you've never heard of before at all, because they're just really fresh voices who have very compelling stories to share. In some cases, those are, you know, some of my favorite pieces in the entire book.
I think we were also clear that we didn't want it to be chronological. We didn't want it to be by the type of loss you've experienced, whether it's parent or sibling or friend or spouse, or pregnancy loss, or the way they died. We wanted sort of these broader umbrellas of themes that we saw, as Rebecca said, came together naturally of the types of pieces we were getting pitched on the site, the types of pieces we were running. And there's really universality in so many of these pieces that even if someone's writing about a loss you haven't experienced in a way that you haven't experienced it, there's a kernel at the center of all of these essays that anyone who's experienced the loss of a loved one can probably relate to.
It seems, Rebecca, that in reading the book, which is tremendously helpful and just by verification and understanding other people and hearing these stories and validation that you understand so much more. But regardless, it's still going to end up being a mess, isn't it?
Of course. This is not your, you know, this is not chicken soup for the soul, right? This book is not to provide a very warm and comforting bowl of soup, if I want to follow that metaphor, you know, with matzo balls and noodles and all the stuff that you might have had as a kid, if you were Jewish and had a grandmother like I did. This book is really actually meant to provide that comfort in terms of showing you how it really is and proving to you that you're not alone in feeling like you do, that you aren't alone in feeling like you're two steps forward, a million steps back one day, that you're not alone in, you know, just trotting along in life and then like 6 years later, you know, you're in the supermarket aisle and all of a sudden you're just in tears, you know, that you're not alone in feeling angry or resentful at the fact that, you know, everybody else seems to have a happy, intact, and alive family, and you don't in some way. That's what we're trying to do, is draw people out of their isolation, but also it's not just for people who have lost somebody, right? It's for people who are empathic, who want good storytelling, who want to understand what it's like to be in that position, and who want to become better at reaching out to people they care about who have gone through something terrible like this. Because as we said in the beginning, you know, it's just a matter of time before that person is going to go through it. So wouldn't it be great if, as a society at large, we all became a little bit more thoughtful and empathic when it comes to talking about and dealing with a topic like loss and grief?
Rebecca Sofer, Gabrielle Berkner, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having us.
Again, Rebecca Sofer and Gabrielle Berkner are the authors of Modern Loss, Candid Conversation About Grief, Beginner's Welcome. The book is published by Harper Wave. We enjoy hearing from our listeners about our shows. You can email us at book@wamc.org, and you can listen again to this or find past book shows via podcast or at wamc.org. Sarah LeDuc produces our program. Bookmark us for next week, and thanks for listening for The Book Show. I'm Joe Donahue.